Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Jesus Messages for Families. This is our fifth night already, so the week is marching right along. On night number one, we talked about marriage, and we saw that God made marriage perfect, didn't he? Right there at the end of creation week, he pronounced, you know, he Adam and Eve as a couple, and they were, and everything was perfect there. And by the way, you know, we mentioned the fact that marriage, God's way, marriage is between a man and a woman. That's God's ordained way. You know, we of course have gone, you know, through different ways, you know, outside of God's will, and we've humanity has reached, you know, or we have reaped, you know, what we sowed. And then, of course, the fact of the matter is, that while God created marriage perfect, we know that something went wrong along the way. We talked about the fact that sin entered the world, but there was a solution, wasn't there? God had a rescue plan. So we talked about the rescue plan, the fact that we can have hope, that there's a light at the end of the tunnel to resolve our problems in our families here, but of course the hope of eternal life, the hope of being in the mansions that Jesus has prepared for us. And then we talked about the concept of a new family. We can have a new life when we are surrendered to God, when we are baptized. You know the concept that the old person dies and a new person is born again, a new life. And in that context, we also can have a new family. Well, today we're talking about how to keep your family together. Something very practical, you know, maybe something that you're wondering about, how to keep our families together. And one of the things I said on Sunday, you remember that we mentioned that when relationship starts, a couple meets, you know, they fall in love and everything is, you know, pink with polka dots on it. You know, there's always, you know, they got their butterflies in their stomach. They do everything they want, they can to be with each other. And that generally reality is set to the side, right? And so some of us with more experience, we try to encourage and give advice to the younger generation because life takes over. That's the reality. We can't ignore that. Life takes over. Routine takes over. We have to make a living, you know. We start having a family, and so we're worried about our family. We need to provide for their needs, and so the routine starts. And quite frankly, the monotony of life starts. Imagine the mom gets up in the morning and she's making breakfast before she goes to work for the kids and telling the kids, hurry up, you're going to be late for school and just in a hurry, while dad is already at the door with his briefcase, probably with his phone, not even have time to eat breakfast, and he's heading out the door. And as soon as the kids are in school, either she, even if she's a homemaker, she's busy in the house, or maybe she's gone to work, and the family will not see each other again until late that evening. In some cases, because you know we get ourselves so much in debt, we need to work two jobs. In some cases, we get from one job to the other, and nobody sees each other until the next day. And tomorrow is the same thing. And the next day, the same thing. Next week, the same thing. Next month, the same thing. Routine. We are so busy that we barely have time to talk to each other. We don't have time to be with each other. And so the question is, how can we keep our families together in all this chaos? Well, what we're talking about today is by setting priority. You know what is first things first? First thing first. You know, it is just like our earthly families. God wants to spend time with us. Did you know that? God wants to have an intimate relationship with us. But see, we're running around 14 hours a day in some cases, you know. And, you know, I think all of us here are Sabbath keepers, but I would be willing to bet that if we weren't Sabbath keepers, we'd be working 7 days a week. And there are people, yeah, amen. Where's the amen over there? You should say no. But no, really. I mean, 14, 12 hours, you know, I used to work the 12 hours just for 6 days a week. So it's close enough, you know. And so we're busy with, parents are busy with, you know, either homemaking, of course, making a living, doctor's appointments, whether it's soccer practice or music lessons, and you name it. It's chaos. There's no time for anything. We barely have time, a minute of the day with each other. And I want you to think about this because this is really important. If we are so busy that we sometimes don't even see each other during the day, what are the odds that we're spending time with God? Not very good, right? You know, if we're not spending time with the people who we see, or maybe barely see, but at least you see him in the morning, maybe, you know, in passing, how are we going to have time with the God that we don't see? And I think that is the problem. The problem is that we need to set priorities and we're not. We need to put things first. First things first. We need to make priorities, and we need to make the priority, and that is making God the priority. So we need to ask ourselves, is it worth going through life without seeking God first? Notice what the psalmist said. Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Notice what the psalmist is saying is that if we're not making God the foundation of our lives, we are wasting our time. If we are not making God the central and the foundation of our families, we will never bring our families together. That's what we're talking about today. How to keep our families together. If God is in the center, if He is in the foundation, it's not going to work. And I mentioned to you the other day, you know, of course, here we have some of you that have been married for a long time the statistics, remember 40 to 50% of couples end up in divorce. Today, it is so common to have single parent families. It is common to have children who are growing up without a fatherly figure. Could it be? This is no coincidence. It is because we're not making, families not making God the center and the foundation of their home. And I told you that if in 28 years of marriage, Lucy and I, if it wasn't for that, I am willing to bet we wouldn't be together today. In fact, I mean, you know, you talk about being busy, you know, and that's a problem. We're busy, we're not spending time with God. I mean, we talk about our devotional life, right? That's just how we are seeking God, spending time with Him during the day. And you know, I was so busy, you know, I may, just for the sake of saying that I read the Bible today, just glanced over it really quick in a set of maybe a 15-second prayer, and that's it. Just so I could say I spent time with God. But when we're not spending time with God, guess who knows you're not spending time with God? Satan knows you're not spending time with God. And he knows that that weakens us spiritually. And so he'll find a way to get to you. Trust me, he will. And in our case, in my case, he did. And I'm not, you know, I'm ashamed to say, but you know, this is a reality that he almost succeeded in destroying my family. Almost succeeded. And if it wasn't the fact that, you know, in spite of that, that God was the center and we were seeking him, perhaps Lucy, clearly Lucy more than I, we would not be together today. But this is what's happening with our families today. We're not seeking God. We're certainly not spending time with him, and we're not spending time with each other. And of course, everything goes downhill. You know, we must not forget that the happiest people on earth are those who make God first, last, and best. The happiest people on earth are those who made God the priority. The happiest people on earth are those to whom there is nobody or nothing that's more important than God. Those are the happiest people. We need to stay connected with God. And Jesus talks in John 15 about abiding, right? Abiding in him. What he's saying is we need to stay connected. There's an effort in staying connected, right? We need to stay connected. And this was so important to God. The fact that he wanted that intimate one-to-one relationship with us, it was so important to him that he put it in one of the commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." We say, well, you know, and of course Jesus, the next commandment says, we shall not make idols and bow down to them. And we say, well, we're safe because I'm not a pagan. I don't worship these idols. I don't bow down to these gods. But can we have substitute gods? Of course we can. Money, you know, relationships with other people, work, you name it. Anything that takes the priority, that comes between the Lord and us, that's our substitute God. And so we indeed, you could argue that just like the pagans, we may not bow down to worship them, but they're there. We are making other priorities instead of God. Yeah? You notice there the dollar bill, and it says in the back of the dollar bill, "In gold we trust." It says God we trust, but is it really in God that we trust? You know the value of the dollar is based on what? The gold, right? So really, we're trusting in gold, not in God. But, you know, Jesus spends a lot of time in talking about the fact that we need to establish priorities, that we need to make him our priority. Notice part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 26. "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Now, this verse 33, I mean, all the verses that we just read, but specifically verse 33, is one of my favorite passages. And the reason it's one of my favorite passages is because it speaks directly to me. It addresses a concern, an issue in my own life that I've had to learn. You see, I've told some of you, well, you probably already know this. I've been here close to 6 years. Maybe you observed this. But I have what some refer to as an obsessive-compulsive personality. Yeah, it's the truth. You don't believe it? Well, believe it. Trust me. I blame my mother. I inherited it from her. And in part of having a personality like that, is that I'm the type of person that needs to be prepared ahead of time. You know, I don't do well at the spur of the moment things. I need to be thinking about it ahead of time. I'm the type of person that wants to be ready for a rainy day. You've heard that phrase before, right? We got to be prepared for a rainy day. I was also very pessimistic, seeing the glass half empty. And so I was the kind of person that was always constantly worrying about things, just like my mother. Worrying about, well, how we, you know, I got to make sure that I have enough just in case there is a rainy day. You know, how am I going to feed my family? You know, if something happens, what's going to happen to them? So I got to make sure that there's enough. I got to make sure I save enough. And there's nothing wrong with saving, by the way. We need to be good stewards and prudent about that. But there comes a time when enough is enough. And And so I was the kind of type of guy worrying about these things. I have to work hard and because I have to provide, and constantly worrying about things. And notice that Jesus talks exactly about that. You know, why do you have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear? You know, God knows we need those things before even we know we need these things. What he's saying is that we need to establish priorities. Because when we are consistently working that way, of course, again, not spending time with our families, that's just separating our families. And of course, we're getting ourselves sick. And in my case, because I was consistently worrying, and I said to myself, I have to be working in order to meet the needs of my family and have enough saved and all that, I missed out a lot. In my family, missed out a lot. When you know, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, regret in my life is not spending time with my children when they were growing up. Why? Because I was always in the back of the ambulance, and I missed out a lot. Now you can't take those things back. Unfortunately, we would like to go to the past. You know, with what we know today, if I could go to the past and make some changes, that would be the one change I make, is spending my time with my kids. Because you know that there's a problem when the times that I've had the opportunity to participate in something that my kids were doing, and my daughter would ask, is Daddy going? It was a surprise that Daddy was going, because I never was in any of their activities. Where's your husband? Where's your father working? That's the way it always was. And I'm thankful that Lucy had a different mentality and that she was always there. And so, and of course, that translates into the relationship we have today. And so this is why, you know, these principles that we're going over are so important. Because we take these things for granted. We're the man of the house. I got to make sure I got enough for my family. I got to work hard. But we're not setting priorities. And our family should be. God should be the priority, but our family should come second. And oftentimes that's not the case. The promise is that Jesus is making is when we make him the priority, when we make the kingdom of God the priority, he will supply everything else that he knows we need even before we know we need him. Do we trust him? Do we believe he'll keep his promise? This is why it's been my favorite. You know, he's taught me in a hard way that he keeps his promise. I can trust that. You know, when we don't abide in Jesus, when we don't stay connected to God, it's like we're an orphan, a homeless orphan who has a rich father. We're living outside of God's protection because we don't want to keep. We're not doing anything to keep that connection. And so, this concept of having an intimate, close relationship with God, because it has to start here. It has to start with us if it's going to translate into our families. If I am not making God the priority in my life, it's not going to be in my family's life either. And we're not going to come united as God wants. It has to start with us. We need to do this individually. And this was so important to God. I mean, God, you know, in his wisdom, he knew from day one what we would need in order to keep our relationship with him and with our families. And what did he do? He picked a day. A day that we could come close to him. Spend time with him. Imagine that God went out of his way to make sure that we spent time with him. He created a day for it. And a day, in turn, that we could spend time with our families as well. The Sabbath commandment, Exodus chapter 20. Verses 8 through 11, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. You shall not work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Remember what we said that during creation week, God created, after creation week, he created two things. You pronounced them very good. One of them was families. We've been talking about families. And the other one was the Sabbath. He created the Sabbath. And so the commandment, of course, tells us to go, it goes back there to creation. Because God made it in creation because from day one, he wants to spend time with us. And by the way, I oftentimes we miss out, when we read this commandment, we miss on the fact that he's telling us to work 6 days of the week. We need to work. It's important that we work. The problem is that oftentimes we work too much. We need to learn to keep the proper balance. So we work 6 days a week, and so at the end of the week, we are to come and visit with him. Notice that. God expects us to come visit with him. That we, with our families, can come visit with him on the day that he's chosen. He set that day aside, the seventh day, Saturday, to spend time with him. It will keep our families together when we do this. And it'll energize us for the following week. I mean, it's true, maybe, again, we're working so much, even 6 days a week, but how great it is that even if we're working a hard 6 days a week, maybe we don't see each other that much, that at least on the day that God chose, we are seeing each other and spending time together. I remember when Jean-Luc was between 2 and 3 years old, I was at the time working for the IRS. My shift at the IRS was from 7 to 3:30. Besides working, I was going through paramedic school at the time. And that was almost full-time, too. So it was the school was Monday through Thursday from 6 to 10. So I left my house around 6:15 in the morning, got off shift. I didn't go back home because the school was not far from where I worked at the IRS. So I would stay there. I would study or maybe go to the gym and then have dinner and went straight to school. So I would not get home until 10:45, at least Monday through Thursday. By that time, Lucy was sleeping because she had to work the next day, and Jean-Luc was sleeping. Didn't spend time with him. Now, Sunday was a day of studying because paramedic school is hard. So I spent at least 8 hours every Sunday studying. So that day was shot. So the only day that I could spend time with him was Sabbath. And I remember I looked forward to it because I got off at 3:30 on Friday. I didn't have class on Friday, so I could go straight home. I would pick Jean-Luc up from the babysitter, and that was the day on Friday night, Sabbath, you know, when the Sabbath started, where we spent several hours playing. He got all his toys, and he had these huge, giant Legos, and we would just play with that. We would wrestle together. That became a tradition for us, at least in his young age like that. And something that I looked forward to every week. That was my escape. Working every day, now I could spend time with him and with Lucy. Looking forward to that. And you know, God wants us to be able to look forward to the Sabbath. Maybe you're not seeing your family through the week. But now, when the Sabbath comes, you can look forward to spending time with him. And it energizes you, at least it did for me, to face the next week. If I did not have that moment, under the stress that I was under, all the stuff that I had to do, if I didn't have that moment, I don't know what I would have done. It's no surprise that there are so many people who call it quits. And they hang themselves or do some other crazy thing because that's what life has become. But God knew it, and so he established a day, a specific day for this. Notice what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 58. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall rise up, you shall rise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath of delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Principles. I mean, I preached on this several years ago, but if we go back here real quick, and it says there in verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, it's talking about for feet, it's talking about our walk, our lifestyle, how we live our lives, and from doing our pleasure on his holy day. Notice, it is not my Sabbath. It is not your Sabbath. It is the Sabbath of who? It's the Sabbath of the Lord. It belongs to him. It is he who created it, who blessed it, who sanctified it. It is he who commanded us to keep it. It is his day. And so we are not to take this day as if it's for us to do what we want, our pleasure. No, it is his holy day. God wants the day to be a delight. He wants it to be a joy. He wants it to be something that we look forward to. Why? Because now I can spend time with him. Now I can spend time with my family. And so he goes on, notice that when we keep the Sabbath, when we honor him on that day, we are honoring God and shall honor him. Notice it doesn't say honoring it. We're not honoring the day. We are honoring the God of the Sabbath. Honor him by what? By not doing your own things, you know, your ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. When we do this according to his will, then we shall delight ourselves in the Lord. Then we will find joy on his holy day. And then the promise comes. It calls you to ride on the hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Imagine you are in a game show. And they give you these envelopes. They're different colors, but there are 7 envelopes. And one of these envelopes is a check for a large sum of money. If you pick the right envelope, you get to keep the money. You only have one chance. Wouldn't you want to get the envelope with the money? Now, all the envelopes look alike, but only one is special. Only one has the money. Well, the days of the week for many people, they all look alike. You probably have heard people say, well, every day is holy. And that sounds so eloquent. That sounds so Christian. But that's not biblical, friends. Every day is not holy. There's only one day that God made holy, and that's the seventh day. It is the Sabbath. It is the day that he specified that he blessed. When we look at Genesis 2:3, then God blessed a seventh day. And God blessed one day among the seventh. No, he says clearly he blessed the seventh day, the definite article right there, the. It's specific. Only one day in the seven he blessed and sanctified, that is the Sabbath. And that is the day that he set aside so he could spend time with us. Why would we want to pick a different day? Now, that's not to say that we can't spend time with God other days of the week too. But God set aside a 24-hour period so that we could dedicate to being with him and to being with our family. And this is so much true with our families because remember, the rest of the days of the week, what are we doing? We're working. We're doing everything we're used to doing. And trust me, we can spend time with God, but we're going to be distracted by everything else. I'm one of the classes I'm taking this summer is a class on time management. Imagine that. I need it. But anyway, one of the books I was reading, I'm doing the reading that I need to do before the class starts. So one of the books I was reading, giving advice on how to manage time, was attacking it from a spiritual sense of us, being at peace with God and having that relationship with God, that helps us in time management. But one of the things the author, who happens to be a pastor, recommends that we take a Sabbath. A Sabbath. Not the Sabbath, but a Sabbath, right? And so, of course, he's a pastor, so, you know, he pastors a church on Sundays. And his argument was that Sunday is his busiest day. His church had two or three services, and he has to go visit and counseling. So it is a busy day. So what he was saying is that, well, I can't really keep the Sabbath on Sunday. Of course, in his mind, Sunday is the Sabbath. So what I do is I keep the Sabbath during the week. I just pick a day to be my Sabbath. Okay. I suppose that there is, by the way, he calls it Sabbathing. This concept of at least taking a Sabbath. It doesn't matter which day it is in his mind, as long as you're basically taking a day off. And I would submit that, yeah, taking a day off is okay, it's important, but we're going to miss out if we're not doing it in the day that God has chosen. We are, because we're going to be distracted by everything else. The Sabbath is the seventh day. God is specific. And of course, it's important that we know when the Sabbath starts. When does the Sabbath start? Right? Leviticus 23:32, from evening to evening you shall celebrate your Sabbath. You know, this may be not important to you, but I was just recently doing some research, and maybe you've heard that even in the Adventist church, there are those who are trying to convince everybody else that we ought to follow the lunar cycle when we keep the Sabbath. Any of you have heard this before? Yeah, the lunar cycle. Not the sun. It's not about the sun, but about the moon, the cycle of the moon. I'm not going to say that I'm an expert in everything they're saying, but one thing that they say is that those of us who do sunset to sunset are wrong. That is not biblical. I don't know where the constant. The way they keep the Sabbath is, again, following the lunar cycle, but it's from dawn to dawn. Not sunset to sunset, but from dawn to dawn. You know, it's some crazy thing sometimes. But there are people out there, including in the Adventist church, that are pushing this. But we just read that it does say evening to evening, doesn't it? I'm not going to argue with the Bible. It seems clear the Bible says it that way. But now, when it comes to the Sabbath, you know, when we want to make the Sabbath a day of joy, you know, we have to be intentional in doing this too. It's important that we become intentional in finding ways to make the Sabbath a day of delight for us and for our family. And we can do things that help promote this. Here's a picture of Sabbath dinner. This is our family. I'm not there because I'm taking the picture. But, you know, both sides. When the kids were small, Lucy had taken a retreat. It was a retreat with this Adventist couple there. They teach at Andrews. I forget their names. Davidson, I think their last name is. But they were giving this retreat, and part of what they were talking about is keeping the Sabbath. And they go to, they travel to Israel, the Holy Land, right? And they describe how things are in Israel during the Sabbath or in preparation for the Sabbath. Actually, I saw a video about this recently. On Friday afternoon, after 12, everything closes in Israel, in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a busy city. But when afternoon, everything closes. It's like a deserted city. Why? Because they're preparing for the Sabbath. Very interesting. Now, this couple was, you know, sharing some ideas of how to, you know, make the Sabbath special. And so Lucy decided, you know, we were going to have Sabbath dinner. Now, this is when the kids were small. So she got these Sabbath candles. Actually, we still have them here. I don't know if you can see them right there. She lighted them up. Those are the Sabbath candles right there. And she got this tray. It's right here behind the wine bottle that we got from Kathy. It's right there. I'm giving a promotion to your product. But anyway, it's right there. And there's a tray there for the challah bread. How many of you have heard what the challah bread is? You know what the challah bread is? It's this Jewish bread. You get them. Publix actually has. That's where we get it now. But when we were in Philadelphia, we used to go to this Jewish bakery, and we got it there. Anyway, she got the Sabbath candles. We got the tray for the bread. We didn't have the cup. Right now, we do have a cup. You see the cup here? This is a silver cup with Hebrew writing. And so back then, we started having their Sabbath dinner. The kids were small. Can't remember for how long we did it, but we stopped. And years later, at some point, they were talking about this, and the kids commented that they looked forward to that time, because, you know, during the week, I mean, I was always working, so I was never home, and, you know, everybody's doing their own thing, and so we, at least on Friday, Friday evening, for sunset, we would sit down to have a meal. And so when they commented, you know, we really looked forward to this, Lucy said, you know, we ought to start doing this again. And so we've been doing it again for probably about 2.5-3 months now. On Friday, of course, Lucy and Jean-Luc work in the same place, so they get home, you know, just after 4:30, 5 o'clock, depending. Ariana, of course, is in school. This particular weekend, she was home from school. And so since they're working, I prepare dinner. And I set the table with notice. And in this case, Lucy got the good china, right? You know, you're not allowed to use that all the time. But she gets that out, and the silverware. We have that white mantle there. And so it's really good because, again, during the week, we don't sit down and have a meal together. It used to be families did that every day. They turn off the TV and they sit down and they talk about their day. And I think that's pretty healthy. But during the week, you know, I'm in meetings or whatever, so I'm not home. But on Friday, we make that point that this is what we do. And so when sunset is earlier, then we will open the Sabbath and have special prayer. Now, what we do is we have a special prayer. Lucy has some information on that. We have a prayer over the bread, over the wine, and then we have a special prayer over each the member of our family. And then we sit down and have our meal. And we partake of the challah bread too, the grape juice. You know, this is just something that we do that allows us to start the Sabbath by spending time with each other and talking, you know, how was your week and everything. Of course, when Ariana's home, she's actually home this weekend, so we'll do it together again tomorrow night. And so this is something that we do. And again, there's a number of things you could do to make the Sabbath special. You know, the Sabbath, a lot of times, especially when we tell our kids about the Sabbath, it becomes a day of the thou shall nots. You can't do this. You can't do that. Now, we adults may be able to handle that, but kids, sometimes they don't look forward to the Sabbath. They're waiting for that sunset, you know, to start so they can go back to life. But if we try to make the Sabbath a blessing, something to look forward to, when the Sabbath ends, they say, man, the Sabbath is already over. I can't wait till the next Sabbath. And no, we've been trying to get some hikes going during the Sabbath, nature walks and that kind of thing. But you know, the Sabbath is about preparation. Is about preparation. We need to prepare for the Sabbath. Here's an example. Exodus 16:23. It says, then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. Now, the background of this, of course, is the story of the manna. God sent manna for the children of Israel in the desert. That's how he fed them. And he gave them some clear instructions. The manna would fall Sunday through Friday. I know they didn't call the days like that, but for our sake, Sunday through Friday, right? That's when the manna fell. And they were told every day, get out of your tent, gather the manna that you're going to need for that day. Feed yourself and your family that day. Don't collect any more, because whatever's left over, what would happen to it? It would spoil. And of course, you know, the Israelites, some of them were very hard-headed. And they got some more. Just, you know, that's probably something I would have done, because you got to keep some more for a rainy day. Yeah, it would have spoiled. I'm sure it would have spoiled. But that's what they were supposed to do Sunday through Thursday. Now, on Friday, which is what this passage is talking about, they were to collect a double portion because manna would not fall on the Sabbath. So they got a double portion on Friday, and they were to make it, and whatever's kept for the next day did not spoil. So we know that God was in this. But notice that in something as important as food, as feeding ourselves and our family, even then God made an exception. He didn't send manna on the Sabbath. They were to prepare ahead of time, to, you know, preparing for the Sabbath. And we need to do the same thing, preparation. We got 6 days of the week to do what we're supposed to do. When, you know, when the Sabbath starts, we should not be in a hurry, stressed out about getting ready. We should have been ready already. So if we got clothes to get ironed and lay out for a Sabbath at church, that should happen before the Sabbath. If you have some cleaning to do, if you have some shopping to do, if you have a cooking to do, whatever it is, do it before. And it's a shame that sometimes, and I know that there are some families, even in our district, who when the Sabbath starts, they're still in the store shopping because they have not prepared. Now, I do realize that on Fridays, when the winter starts, Sabbath starts kind of early, so that sort of limits our day. But this is why we need to be intentional. 6 days of the week, we need to try to do everything before. So when the Sabbath starts, we can enjoy it. We're not going to enjoy the Sabbath if I still got to do this, I still got to do that. No, we can unwind and relax and really enjoy our time with God and our time with the family. In the Bible, the Friday was called the day of preparation. There is Luke 23:54. That day was preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. Of course, this is the day that Jesus was crucified, which was Friday. We celebrate that tomorrow. It's Good Friday tomorrow. So Jesus died on Friday. They took his body. They were going to embalm him, spices and ointments. They were going to lay him in a tomb, but sunset was about to start. And what did the people do? They kept the Sabbath according to the commandment. The point is, Friday was a day of preparation. They prepare ahead of time. Now, something else that's important as we are trying to bring our families together and within the context of the Sabbath is going to church. Notice Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so after our nightly rest, friends, we will go to church. We ought to go to church with our families. Now, if it's just you and your spouse, well, you and your spouse. But if you have kids, you, your spouse, and the kids, bring everybody to worship the Lord in the church. The Bible says that Jesus' custom was to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. It was his custom. It's what he did usually. And if it was his custom, it ought to be our custom too. In fact, I will say that if you are a Christian, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, unless you're sick or maybe traveling, seeing some family, maybe once in a while, maybe you want to go to the park and have worship. But other than that, on Sabbath, you should be at church. You should be at church. In fact, anything that keeps us away from church on Sabbath on a continual basis is obviously not something you should be doing. There are things, even good things, even worthwhile things that maybe we like to be involved in, but though if those things are on a consistent basis keeping you away from church, that's not something you should be doing. You got 6 days of the week to do them. Once in a while, okay, but if it's on a consistent basis, you should be at church on Sabbath. It was Jesus' custom, it should be ours as well. And so, of course, we worship with our immediate family. We're spending time with God, we're spending time with our immediate family, and we're spending time with our church family, which is also important. And after worship, of course, there's a number of things we could do, going on hikes, community service, you name it. In fact, there's a book, I don't know if you've read, Sam Bakioki. How many of you remember Sam Bakioki? Yeah, a number of you. He has he wrote a good book on how to keep the Sabbath, and gives different ideas about how to keep the Sabbath and not make it a day of the thou shalt nots, but to make it a day of the things that you could do, and looking forward to that. So notice how important the Sabbath is in keeping our families together. You know, maybe you didn't see it that way before, but that God had that intention. Now, here's another key. It's related to what we've just been talking about on keeping our families together. There was this this young Arab king. Young, he was already king, but he was young. He didn't have a family yet. And he wanted to establish his authority. And so he would say he had six rules in raising children. You know how it is sometimes? There are single folks who don't have kids who are telling us how to raise our children. What experience you have. Well, this is this king's, this is what he was doing. He has six rules. So, passing over the time, he got married and had kids of his own. And somebody asked him then if he had been successful in applying the six rules with his kids. And he said, when I was single, I had six rules to raise my kids. Now I have six kids and zero rules. You know, there's a lot of people that don't like rules. Matter of fact, Ava, you may remember this. I asked a few weeks ago at school about rules and how many of you like rules. Remember I asked that question? Uh-huh. Kids don't like rules, but some adults don't like rules either. You know, there's some nice, well-meaning Christians out there that says that we don't have to keep the commandments anymore. Notice what the psalmist says. Psalm 112:1, praise be the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Blessed is the one who delights in the commandments, it says. Now, if you delight in the commandments, then clearly you must be keeping them. You're not going to delight in the commandments if you're disobeying the commandments. So you delight in them when you're walking in obedience. And the promise is that not only you, the one who's keeping the commandments, will be blessed, but your descendants will be blessed, right? He says, his descendants will be mighty on the earth. A generation of the upright will be blessed. Where wealth and riches will be in his house. So when we as head of the family, you know, mom and dad, are showing that we are walking in obedience to God, our children are going to learn those very things, and they will be blessed, and they will pass it on to their children, and so on and so forth. That's the impact that we'll have. We need to understand that rules are important. God has established the commandments for our own welfare. We are the ones benefited by keeping the commandments. But today, people like to go in their own way. Like kids who, I don't know if you guys ever did this when you were small. You change the signs on the street. You turn them around. It's a good prank. Funny, but you know, if you're driving in the wrong street, it's not that funny. Because today, what's harmful is seen as good, and what good is seen as harmful. We have thrown away the standards of morality and of right and wrong, at least biblically speaking. And people are doing what they want and are not realizing that the commandments are there to protect us. Here's a word that we need to learn together today. Remember, Spanish is the heavenly language, so I'm giving you a freebie here today. We're going to say felicidad. Can you say that with me? Felicidad. Anybody know what that means? Happiness, that's right. Felicidad, that's right, happiness. Now, I'm going to parse this word. This is not biblical. This is not a theological thing, but I'm going to parse this word. It starts with the word, F-E, fe. Can you say fe? Who knows what fe is? Faith. See, you got two Spanish words today. Now, the second word is not free. I'll get my fee outside. because it's the heavenly language. So faith. Now, the following two syllables, L-I-C-I, lissy, I heard somebody say it. Something that is licit, right? It makes us think about what is licit. So in parsing the word, I want you to think about this. Happiness comes when by faith we do what is licit. Happiness comes when by faith we do what is lawful in the eyes of God, according to God's will. Yeah. Because the Bible says, of course, that whoever keeps or commits sin also commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is breaking the commandments. And Jim talked about the other day in James 4 that whoever knows how to do good and doesn't do it, that is also sin. Okay? So that's what sin is. And when we think about the commandments, we know that the first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. The next six have to do with our relationship with each other. And you think about commandments like don't commit adultery, honor your father and your mother, don't lie, are commandments that directly affect our families. When we're keeping those commandments, our families will be happy. Isn't it because, you know, the grass is greener on the other side, that we have all these adultery and that's separating the family? We're not honoring our parents, that's separating our family. We lie and cheat, that's separating our family. So when we are obedient to God, we are reaping the benefits and our families will stay together. Yeah. Small containers, and when you smell a small container, once you smell it, you can deduce whether it's a nice perfume or a stinky substance. We can be given out a good smell, or we can be given a bad smell by our example. You know, even in our neighborhoods, families can be a blessing to certain neighborhoods when you're happy, when you're walking with God. But there are some families that are not, because they're doing something totally different. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote that happiness is a perfume you cannot pour on others without getting on some yourself. We can share that with others. But, you know, living by faith is the beginning of happiness. But to experience that happiness, we must walk following the principles that God has established in His Word. Keeping God's commandments maintains us inside the law. Not keeping them keeps us outside, as outsiders. He doesn't want us to be outsiders. So this is important, to keep our families together. But there are problems. There are problems in our families. We need to learn to resolve them with God's help. But did you know that the biggest problem has been resolved? The biggest problem has been solved already. And Jim Williams is going to talk about that tomorrow night. So I'll be here at 7 o'clock. We're going to see how the biggest problem and how it has been resolved. But let me leave you with one more passage. Deuteronomy 28:13. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to obey them. So notice, we will be the head when we keep the commandments. Not because the commandments save us, not because they earn us brownie points, but because we love God, don't we? Obedience is not legalism, it's a love response. We need to keep that in mind. So I want to invite you to make a covenant with God today. We've talked about the importance of obedience, keeping the commandments of God. There are several that directly impact our families. And so it's making a covenant to walk in obedience, because we love Jesus, because we love God, and because we love our families, and being that example. But of course, we specifically talked about the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is there so that we could spend time with God. If we've made that priority, made God number one in our lives, and then that'll translate into our families. We spend time with God and we spend time with our families. The Sabbath is also important for that. So I want to ask that we make a covenant together, asking God to help us do both. Be obedient and start looking at the Sabbath perhaps in a different way to help us stay connected with God and stay connected with our families. Would you like to do that today? Well, let's all stand and, and have a word of prayer and ask God to help us in this. Our gracious Father in heaven, we're thankful today again as you have led us to see what you have to say in your word. This was a very practical topic today, Lord, because, you know, the fact of the matter is perhaps some of us here are dealing with the issue of being so busy that we have not had time with you. We haven't spent our devotional time with you. And certainly we're not spending time with our families. Other things have taken our priorities. Lord, we pray forgiveness for that. Some of us have made mistakes in the past and we wish we could take them back. Well, all we could do now is to try to make things better from here on. And so, Lord, we're thankful that you're patient and merciful and gracious. But, Lord, we want to be intentional in following your principles, the principles you've highlighted here this evening, that will help us keep our marriages together, that will help us keep our families together, and more importantly, that will strengthen our relationship with you. That may be the priority, that nothing and nobody comes between you and us. So, Lord, tonight we are asking your help through your Spirit. We're making a covenant. This is what we want to do. This is what we want to teach our children, and we want our children to teach theirs and so on. We need your help, Lord. We need you to help us to make the right priorities, to make you the priority, to make the right choices so that our families will indeed stay together just the way you want to. And so that each day, our relationship with you becomes stronger and stronger. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for what you will do in our lives to make this happen. Thank you for being with us here tonight. And as we head home, we pray that you will protect us and keep us safe. For we ask this in Jesus' powerful and precious name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. Good night. We'll see you.